What else we got?
Quiet bunch. You don't have another chance of doing this. I'll be there right now. Nelson's next year. Yes, miss.
So I work at the Children's Advocacy Center, and with the Yukon and the Kuskokwim having the highest numbers of child sexual assault, I'm just wondering, like, what are your thoughts on our region or the whole state?
Well, you know, this is an issue that, to me, that is a multiple faceted problem that has to be solved in many different ways. If you check most of the sexual abuse, violence, and everything is related to one or two things: alcohol and opioids, primarily alcohol. The communities themselves have to be directly responsible too. You can't do it by yourselves. And the idea is your neighbor is abusing their children. That should not be tolerated. I go back to that. Don't look for excuses. Say, okay, this is not going to be tolerated. It's not going to happen again. And that goes back to what I said about drinking being a crime. If you didn't have the time to be in the street when you're drunk, you wouldn't go home and beat up your wife or assault your kids. Everybody hear what I'm saying? Now, some people, that's not popular. I'm not doing this for popularity. I know I live in the village. I got my home. My kids are from there. And I ain't going to be tolerated when I was the white mayor. I didn't tolerate any of that nonsense. We didn't have any problems. You did the time. And it was very well done. And that's our responsibility. Now, identification, trauma treatment later has already happened. We ought to be seeing what we can do in the facility within the communities, a treatment center with people that can understand that trauma. That's where you come in. You know, I could go in all day with it. It's a bad issue. You know. And this state has got the highest, probably in the nation, you know, drugs, alcohol. Now, all of you go out of here and have a drink, I'm going to be very disappointed. I've been sober 24 of the last 48 years. Did you catch that? Did anybody catch that? I don't drink election years, so I take care of that problem. Okay, what else we got?
Yes, sir. I'm the superintendent for the Lower Kuskokwim School District, so largest REAA in terms of number of schools and students. One of our big challenges is infrastructure in rural Alaska. Two things in particular is teacher housing, and we have, you know, applied for the teacher housing grants through Alaska Housing Finance for the last number of years. We were successful early on, but the extreme cost of construction in rural Alaska has caused us to lose points and not get that funding over the last number of years. So number one, that's a challenge for us in terms of having quality housing for teachers in rural Alaska. Tied to that, may not seem like it, but is other infrastructure like access to broadband internet. As a school district, we pay $32 million a year for broadband internet, 90% of which, thankfully, is funded through E-rate. But that's still $3.2 million out of our budget that is just an extreme amount. And so I'm just wondering your thoughts on both the teacher housing side of things and then the other sorts of infrastructure.
No, on the broadband, Commissioner Pai made a mistake, and we're trying to get that re-put in. We're not only the schools, but your medical facilities and everything else. The high cost is, you know, we're used to it now. We didn't have it before, but it is the modern, you know, medical, telecommunication, education around the state. It's very frankly a lot cheaper than flying somebody out and having to go to school. It is a big issue. I don't have a quick solution. I'm hoping we can convince them to change Pai's decision. If not, we'll see what we can do legislatively, because this is a, you know, we're the United States of America right here in Alaska. I always like to talk about that because, you know, you've seen it on the map where we go all the way from Seattle to Miami, Florida. But more than that, you take all the land east of the Mississippi, from the Mississippi River to the Atlantic Ocean, from Maine to Florida, that's part of Alaska. They have 252 congressmen in there and 52 senators. So you understand the battle we've got. It's a big issue. And so I'm well aware of that. On the housing part, you know, it goes back to who finances your schools?
State.
Okay, it doesn't do you any good to buy a car and not give you the gas to run it. And housing has always been a problem. They ought to have the package, okay, in the formula, housing should be included for, let the school district run it and charge rent that goes back into the school itself. It's just, it's hard for people to understand this is needed. You go in the larger cities of the state of Alaska, it's not. And they said, why should we give you them the advantage? Not an advantage. I want to retain my housing, I mean, my teachers, because the housing is available. It's hard to get a married couple, for instance, to stay in the village when they don't have housing. So I think of anything I would do as a superintendent, and for you in the room, start telling your local legislators, anything else, the school package. On the federal level, the only rule we have is the PL 874. That's a big chunk of money. Rural schools, a big chunk of money. And we've been able to keep that funded so that you can actually operate. And that's big. But we can't have a program that directly builds your housing. But you ought to work to promote it, to get it done by the state education group. And by the way, we spent more money on education 45 years ago per capita than we are now. It's still a lot of money. Don't get me wrong. It's just a lot of money. But housing is crucially important. That's what I would do. On the federal level, just the PL 874s, and the rest of that's where we come in. What else we got? Yes.
Yeah. Hi, my name is Dean. I'm the superintendent at the jail, and I'm just listening to your answer there about the schools that probably already answered the question, but I'm wondering if there's some way that the building that we have, it's 34 years old, it's long past its useful life expectancy, the original count was supposed to be about 92. We're generally up around 200 now. With the closing of the beds at API, with the Title 47s that we had before that, the gymnasium was converted to a 60-bed housing unit about 2011, 2012, which really, you know, basically cuts out outside rec for most inclement weather days, which there are a lot of. Is there any way that the feds could partner with the state and build like a new facility that, you know, also housed, I don't know, you know, some longer term federal prisoners? I'm just talking, you know, trying to brainstorm, talking off the top, because I don't see the state building a new facility here.
You know, the state, and I'm going to be a step out of line a little bit. The state has the money to do that in cooperation with the local communities and maybe some assistance from the federal government. When I say that, I'm not pulling any punches. You know what I run up against all the time as your congressman? When you need the money, you're paying your people to live there. You follow what I'm saying now? So then they have the big fight. So it's a combination of local, state, and maybe the federal government under. We're going to put millions and billions of dollars in the opioid crisis. All right, why can't we build a facility that might serve as another part of it, a joint facility, for those that have a problem? So use your imagination and see if that can't be done. And then get on the state again, because they're going to get that money from us sent to the state, and they're supposed to give it to the communities. Now, that means speak up good and loud to those that are in position in Juneau to say, this is a good program. I can promote it. I'm not going to say I'm going to get you the money for it, but I can promote it, and I'll work to see if there's money available at another program to see if we can't make it a combination. To get a direct grant to build it isn't going to happen. I mean, I'm being as frank with you as I can. I told you I would be. I'm not going to sit here and tell you everything's going to be a piece of cake. It's not, but there's a need. I can't imagine when we're shutting down API now. Can you imagine? We have a lot of mental problems in this state. And you need a facility, and that could go with the drug problem too, a facility to treat them and personnel to do it too. And it's a challenge that we can grasp and maybe solve. What else we got?
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
Years ago, there used to be a word out there that everyone hates now in the government. It's called earmarks. But earmarks are still out there. It's just under another name. Your thoughts on that?
Well, they're really not out there as they should be. You have to write it in different languages to make it fit an area, which is very cumbersome, very misinterpreted by an agency, which the money goes through, because we appropriate the money to new agencies. I will get the earmarks back. I've said this along one of my goals, to get the earmarks back, because it's one of the best ways for a Congress to distribute the taxpayers' dollars to the recipients that they elect you to do. That's my job, not the Bureau of Fish and Wildlife or the Interior Department or HEW or EDC or what's that, EDA?
That's EDA.
EDA, none of that. But what we've done is give the power of the executive branch to distribute money. And where do you think it goes? It ain't going to come to Bethel or Nome or Kotzebue or Quick Look or someplace like that, or, you know, Kevalina. It's going to go to the state, and the state's going to put it where? Where the largest number of voters are. And this is why it's so important in Congress, because I can identify. You look around this town, I wish all of you would do that. There's very little in this town that wasn't created by an earmark by Ted Stevens or myself. I want you to think about that. I bring that up because a lot of people forgot that. That Ted was very much involved in everything he did, I would do, and everything I would do, he would do. So it was good for able to earmark monies for communities, because you're not big in numbers. And to answer your question for the Congress itself, they're finally seeing the light. But all people, my so-called party, said, oh, we can't do this, breaking the budget. It's nothing out of the budget, because it comes out of sight within the budget. But we decide where it's going to be spent, not some bureaucrat in Washington, D.C. or Juneau, Alaska. That's really what it's about. So we're going to try to get it back. And I think it can happen. We had a good hearing before the Rules Committee. Within the next month, we go back. We have a lame duck session. I believe we're going to be able to get the speaker to back that up. And if the future speaker, if there is one, if they won't do it, he probably won't get it. She won't get elected. Because this is, the Congress agrees with me now. You know.